today we're going to be seeing really the heart of Paris, really where Paris began. And on the two islands, there's over 2,000 years of Paris history. So we have a lot to cover. And here you can see an aerial view of the two islands. And of course, down the bottom here, you can see the whole Louvre area. And you have the two islands in the river. And Île de la Cité is this one. It's the biggest island, although it's relatively small. It's only about a kilometer by a third of a kilometer. And this is really where Paris began, on Île de la Cité. And the name means this is the city. The island is the city. This is the heart of Paris. And then the other island, St. Louis Island, named after St. Louis, the king, Louis IX. It wasn't really developed until the 17th century, and it's been mostly really residential. And it's about half the size of Île de la Cité. So it's a very compact area that we're going to be looking at. And of course, the whole point of Paris being an important city is that it was, you know, grew up on the river because of trade on the river. And the Seine, you can see it's quite winding. It's 100 miles as the crow flies from Paris to the English Channel, and it's 250 miles on the river. But still, it was much easier to transport on the river until the railroad in the 19th century. And Paris was the largest port in France until the railroad. So it really became an important city, the biggest city, because of the trade on the river. And the name, the Seine, comes from an old Celtic word, the original inhabitants, a Celtic word that meant a serpentine goddess. So it actually, the name actually means serpentine, the winding river. And so that's why the emblem of the city of Paris that you see everywhere, you know, is a reference to the importance of the river. So the emblem, since the 12th century, it's been like this, has always had a boat on it, a galleon. And then it has in Latin the motto of the city, Fletuat Nec Mergitur, which was the motto of the Bolt Guild, which was very powerful in Paris. And they adopted it as the city motto. And it basically means we were rocked, battered by the waves, but we didn't sink. And it's become a symbol of Paris and all the problems it's had in wars and revolutions and attacks and things, that people remember this, that the city will survive, is kind of the idea. So you have the motto of the city. And then on the top is the city wall. It was built in the 12th century, kind of protecting the city. So it's a reference to the importance of trade. And you can see Paris is a circular shape, starting here on the island. And then over the centuries, they just built a succession of city walls going all the way out. So that really explains the shape of Paris, starting in an island and building in a concentric fashion. And the last city wall that was built was in the 1840s, this red one way out here. And this is still the boundary of Paris. Paris never grew beyond its 19th century boundaries. So Paris is 1/14th the size of London, the geographic size, because it didn't keep annexing areas outside of it. The population of the city itself is 2.3 million. And the population of Paris has been gradually declining over the last 10 or 15 years, losing about 15, 20,000 people a year because of the gentrification. Whereas the Paris area, metropolitan area, keeps growing, and it's about 12 million people now. But it's relatively small. It's about 10 kilometers by 10 kilometers. And like I live up here in the 18th near the top, and I can walk in about a little over an hour down to the center of Paris to Notre Dame. In the middle, you can basically walk across the city in 2 or 3 hours. So it's relatively compact. And then of course, Paris is divided between left bank and right bank, with the islands in the middle. And so they decided what was left and right, with the direction of going down river, which is an easier way to get into Paris historically. You think of coming into the city down river. So when you're going down river into Paris, the right bank's on your right and the left bank's on your left. And they couldn't do south, in the northeast, that kind of thing, because the river changes direction, so that doesn't work. So they have to say left bank and right bank. And right in front of Notre Dame is the exact center of Paris, which is called Point Zero. And this is the center of the city on the island, right in front of Notre Dame. It's not obviously the center of France, it is the center of Paris. Oh, the Parisians think it's the center of the world, of course. Point zero. And there's always this tradition. You can see the copper plaque is kind of worn down. The people step on the plaque and make a wish, and their wish will come true and all that. So It's an important spot, but it is the center of the city. And then if you look at the island, this end, you can see the Pont Neuf, which we'll look at, the Place Dauphine, the law courts, and the conciergerie. And you'll notice that we're looking back upriver this way. So this is the right bank here, and then the left bank's over here. And you'll notice that the river is wider on the right bank side, and on the left bank, it's narrower. So practically for the boat and the trade, it was always the right bank that was the commercial heart of Paris, because it was easier to park boats along here. And so symbolically, there's a difference in between the left bank and the right bank. The right bank is commerce. The left bank was students, priests, and intellectuals. And you very rarely will hear someone who lives on the left bank say they'll move to the right bank. You know, it's a whole different mentality. It's kind of like the Upper East Side and Upper West Side of New York. You know, never moved to the other side. And then Paris began in the 3rd or 4th century BC. They don't really have the archaeological evidence for it, but they think that the Celtic tribes might have originally been on the island about 300 or 400 BC. And so that's where the name Paris comes from, is from the name the Romans gave to the Celtic tribes, the Parisi tribe, they called them. So that's the origin. And they lived on this, these kind of small houses on the island, they think. And so when the Romans came, they called Paris Lutes or Lutetia, referring to the kind of city of mud, the situation on the island. And this is a map from about 1180. So you can see the Romans built a lot on the left bank, but then when the Romans left, Paris was essentially on the island. So much of the population was on the island, and it didn't expand greatly until much later. So you can see this is 1575 here on the left, illustration of the island, and this is a bit later. But you can see how crowded it was. All of the bridges in Paris had houses on them until they built the Pont Neuf down here. So the island was very crowded. They had 30,000 people living on the island until the 18th century. There were 16 churches on the island, including Notre Dame, and there were 100 streets. So it was extremely crowded and densely populated. Today, there's only 3,000 people living on the island, and maybe about 10,000 people work on the island because it is an administrative government center. And if you look out downriver at the end, once you get to the end of Ile de la Cité, they have this little section here. And if you look, you can see the Pont des Arts and the Louvre down here. But this little bit was notorious because it was kind of a separate little island, and it was where they had a tradition of burning at the stake heretics, including Jews. It was called the Ile aux Juifs for a while. And so it was a notorious spot of execution at the tip of the island. The most famous person who was executed there was Jacques de Molay, the Grand Master of the Knights Templar. He was executed in 1314. The Knights Templar were very, very, very powerful organization. They really only owed allegiance to the Pope. They owned a lot of land in France, and they were big rivals with the king and with the Pope, really, for power. And so the French king, Philip IV, he conspired to get rid of the Templars, basically. And so all the Templars in France were arrested on orders on a Friday the 13th in 1307. It's one reason why Friday the 13th would be unlucky. And then in 1314, Jacques Molay and his companion, Geoffrey, were burnt at the stake. But as he was burning, Jacques Molay shouted out the famous curse of the Templars. And he said that the king and the Pope, conspired against him, would die within the year, and that the king would leave no descendants. And it all came true. Both the king and the Pope died within a year, and three sons of the king and his grandson, they all became king briefly, but they all died prematurely. So it was considered to be a very, very powerful curse there. So yeah, there you can see the Pont Neuf, and then the end of the island there, that was that notorious spot. So the name of the bridge, you know, it means the new bridge, right? But it's the oldest bridge in Paris. When it was built, it was the new bridge. They called it the new bridge. And it was the oldest one to survive because it was the first one built entirely in stone. So it was solid enough to withstand the floods and the fires and all the problems. You can see a Pissarro painting of it from about 1901 there. And then the bridge all along on the side has these fabulous heads which are all different. No two are the same. They're all carved individually. And they say that some of them were the politicians of the day, that the artisans were doing effigies, were doing caricatures of their hated politicians. So if you were alive back then, you might be able to recognize who some of them were.